All right, so we're going one at a time, one at a time. Okay, so we'll start with words. Actually, I'm gonna flip that over, rewrite. Words, starting with words, and we'll start in Proverbs 18:21. Says those who love to talk will reap the consequence. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, consequences don't always mean that they're bad. You can have good consequences from good words. How many of you know that you can either build a friend up or tear a friend down by what you say? So, I mean, that right there is it's power. Power in the words. And then we'll take it over to Mark 11:12-14. Thanks, Josh, for your participation. That was awesome. Mark 11:12-14. It says, the next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in a full leaf a little way off, so he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. And then we'll jump down to 20-25. So it says, the next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it was withered and the roots were from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." And I'm going to bring it back to 23. It says, "I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain." So if you can say to this mountain, and this is just a small example that Jesus is giving. I mean, that's huge. I mean, I don't know that I could move a mountain right now. But he's saying that if you have the faith, if you believe, your words can accomplish anything. Your words, for instance, when a child's growing up, a father and mother can either really diminish their dreams or really expand their dreams. You can go, like my dad, for instance, when I was growing up, he'd always tell me, "You could be the president. You're going to be the next president. You're going to be the next president." To me, that opens up such a huge imagination that I can be anything, that I can do anything. So words are huge. We'll go over to Matthew 16:19. I left my actual Bible up at a Christian conference in the cities, so it's on its way being returned to me. So it's not here yet. I got to use my phone. I'm very thankful for technology in this sense. Matthew 16:19. Jesus said, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Another version is, "Whatever you allow here on earth will be allowed in heaven, and whatever you refuse to allow will also refuse to be allowed on earth." And further that, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to turn to John 20:23. It says, Jesus says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, then they are forgiven. If you do not forgive their sins, then they are not forgiven." So you have the power with your words and the faith in God to either forgive or to forgive someone's sins or to not forgive, to build someone up or to tear someone down. So in what you speak in your own life is really or what shows in your own life is really a result of what you've been speaking into your life. So you could speak negatively, oh, you know, I'm poor, I'll never be rich, I'll never have money, I'll never have friends, I'll never find love, I'll never do this. Well, that's what you're speaking into your life, and that's what's going to come about. That's the fruit that you're going to produce. And that's a bad fruit that you don't want to produce. Or you can say, you know what, I'm successful in my marriage, I'm successful in finding love, I will find, you know, a spouse someday, I will, you know, be a good employer or employee, whatever it is. The more you speak it, the more you believe it, the more it comes to be, because you're building yourself up. God created the world by speaking. And if he spoke, if we're in his image and we speak, then we should be able to do the same thing. We should be able to create things in our lives to call things that are not as though they were. So it's all a matter of what you speak. And you're always going to want to speak life. You always want to speak life. You always want to build each other up. You never, you know, one of the best sayings that I see now, I didn't see back then, is if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Don't say anything at all. And sometimes that's a lot harder because you see something, you go, I see you. But you know what? It's the truth. If, you know, constructive criticism is proper, but not hurtful criticism. So now we're going to take it over to Luke 7. 1 through 10. Luke 7, 1 through 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. And at that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. Pardon me. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word. Now we're going to key in that. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. And I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to the crowd that was following him. He said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. So going back to just say the word. Just say the word. All you got to do is say it. We have authority to do that. Just as the officer was saying that I can say to my soldiers, go and they go. We can say, I have, and we have. Now, you may not get it right then and there, like poof out of thin air, but you got to continue to believe. You got to continue to stick with it. You got to continue to say it. You got to continue to speak it. You got to speak life to it. And that's the word, speak life or death, Proverbs 18:21. Continue to speak that life. Continue to believe and have faith in God and just wait it out. Just wait it out. Sometimes, what is it? My dad, for instance, had a car when I was about 13. It was a Chevy Z26. I don't remember what kind of car that was. But I was like, oh, I want my dad's car. I want my dad's car. I'm going to get my dad's car. I'm going to have my dad's car. He ended up selling it. Well, I didn't get my dad's car. But later on in life, he had that Mitsubishi Eclipse that I had was his at one point, and I bought it from him. And here it is. I have my dad's car. So, I mean, that was like, yeah, and a better one, you know. So that was 7 years down the road. But I had what I said. I said that I wanted my dad's car, that I would have my dad's car, that was my car. And my dad's car became my car. you know, 7 years down the road, I never saw that coming, but it happened. So you got to continue to believe. You got to continue to speak life, 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 not death. So coming into going from the, also what we're going to look at from that last passage about Jesus healing is works. So words, WW, so the second W is works. We'll go Matthew 17:20. Jesus said, "You don't have enough faith. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would be moved. Nothing would be impossible." So just kind of correlating with words, having the faith, doing the works now. You got to have the faith that you can do it. And these are works that all of us can do. James, we'll spend a little bit of time in James. We'll go to James 1:22 right now. I hope you don't mind. I'm jumping all over the Bible like I usually do, but I figured a lot of scriptures, a lot of backing up, a lot of gods with a lot of God. So James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." So when Jesus says to go, he sent his, was it 72 disciples or 70? 70, okay. Sent him out in two to do works, to heal, to, you know, do whatever. When, if they just went out but didn't do what Jesus had said, they would have been fooling themselves. They, you know what, we can do this, we can do this. And then they go to a town and they just stay there and they don't do anything. They just mooch off of people. So, you know, we gotta do works. Jesus has called us all to do our own works. And there is works for each one of us in the kingdom of God. We are all a part of this body. I'm going to flip over to James 2, 18 and 20, yep, 18 and 26. We'll start with 18. It says, "Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds." So that doesn't, it's not meaning that you earn God's grace or anything by doing good deeds, but it's just an example. It's a show. It's showing the fruit of your life by doing good deeds, by doing God's work. So your faith is shown by what you're doing. And then James 2:26 says that as a body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You know, in earlier in James 2, it talks about how you know, someone may say, "Well, I believe that there's one God." Well, James says, "Good for you. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble." So it's not enough just to have faith, but you got to work it out too. In John 14:12. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. If you believe in me, you will do this. You will do the same works that I have done, and even greater." So, how many believe that? Now, how many can do it? See, Tani raised her hand. LeJade raised his hand. See, they kind of. What do you believe? You know, what you say, what you believe, what you act on. The works. If Jesus said that we can do works like him and even greater, should we not be able to? For example, we'll go, you don't have to go there, but Acts 5:15 and 16. It says that when Peter would go into towns, his shadow would fall on people and they would be healed. Now, I remember the lady touching Jesus' robe, Jesus speaking things out, but I don't remember reading that Jesus' shadow fell on somebody and they were healed. Now, I'm not saying that's greater. I'm not saying Peter's greater than Jesus by any means. But if we can do greater works, you know, I believe that Peter had believed this. I believe that Peter was like, you know what, Jesus, you said it. I'm going for it. You know? So we should be in the same boat as Peter. Or we should be walking out of the different boat just like Peter. So there's works to for each of us to do. And we can do them. But we have to have faith in God. Faith is small as a mustard seed. It's from what I had researched, it's as of in that time was the smallest seed that they knew about. So I mean if you can do that up to your eye, that's a tiny little seed. If you got faith that small, bless you, you'd be able to move a mountain from here to there. But you cannot doubt. There can be no doubt in your heart. Now, understand that not everybody's called to do the same thing, and that's where the J comes in. Jurisdiction. Now, I'm not talking by law or anything, but there's two types of jurisdiction. One is your giftings, and we'll start off in Romans 12. If I can find it. I know. I don't like using my phone Bible. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, everybody's throwing me Bibles. Well, I'm not going to throw your Bible. So 12:6-8. Says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So we're not all doing the same thing. So we'll just continue on going 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11. Paul had kind of, in this part, had kind of written, you know, similarly to the Romans and the Corinthians. Because in 4 it starts off there, 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So raise your hand if you're part of the each of us. Some of you aren't raising your hand. You're not part of each of us. Each of us is all of us. Each of us has a spiritual gift that is given to us by God. To one person, the Spirit, we're back in 8 here. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, he alone decides which gift each person should have. So in this jurisdiction, per se, you'd see someone heal somebody who, you know, had a broken leg and just, bam, they're healed. You can't just walk up to someone on the street and be like, I got you. You know, because if that's not your gifting, it's going to fail and you're not going to look very good. You're kind of going to look like a dork. So you can't operate outside your gifts, and that's where the jurisdiction comes in. The first jurisdiction, actually, I'll write that down. Giftings. So my wise advice, I don't know that you'd call it wise, but I'll call it wise. Don't operate outside your gifts. He alone, the Spirit alone, decides which gift each person should have. And you should be spending time with God to be figuring out what that gift is, whether it is encouraging others, whether it is performing miracles, whether it's, you know, like Charlie had told Zach that he's going to be a recruiter. That's a gifting that the Spirit has given Zach. So find your gifting, spend time with God, find your gifting, and then do it with abundance because the Spirit has given you that gift to do so. Ephesians 4:11, just kind of, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read out of that. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So if you're a pastor or teacher, you're not going to go try and be an evangelist because that's not what you're called to. That's not what God has called you to. And again, you're just going to fail, and you're going to probably be miserable doing it. You're going to be out there stretching yourself far past what you should be stretching yourself, and you're just going to fall flat on your face and wonder what happened. And it's because you stepped outside of your jurisdiction. Now, the other jurisdiction is your world. So we each, Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the good news. So where is all the world? Right here. Exactly. Right here. You know, we each have our own jurisdiction or influence, sphere of influence that we're in, that each one of us can make a difference, that each one of us can be speaking words, can be doing works. So don't just assume that, oh, you know, he said go out into all the world, now I got to go to Samaria or Africa or Ireland or wherever. I mean, if you feel called to do that, absolutely go. And we are, each one of us are called to do something different. So one of us may be called to missions while the other one's called to do international missions while the other one's called to do at-home missions. And then in Matthew it says, go out into all the nations and make disciples. All the nations. We are a nation. Your sphere of influence is part of a nation. So don't just assume that, you know what, I'm going to leave that part to someone else. You know, that's not part of my business. It is part of your business. It is part of, you know, using your gifting for your sphere of influence. Using what God has given you to be a blessing unto someone else as God has blessed you. See, we're not supposed to receive just to keep. We're supposed to receive so that way we can sow and receive again, sow, receive again. Water, harvest, sow, water, harvest. You know, and we can do that in our jurisdiction, within our jurisdictions. If you caught on to that. So now we got the WWJ, words, works, jurisdiction. Can anybody else guess what the D is? Nope. this is our part. We got to do a part. Determination. We got to have, yeah, by a vowel. you play hangman. So, determination. What do I mean by determination? We have a part to play. We can't just assume that God is just going to give while we sit back and do nothing. You know, grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. We can't just sit around and assume that we're earning this because we've been a good person or we haven't done any wrong, which does not make you a good person. Psalm 34:14 says that we are to search for the Lord's peace and work to maintain it. So if we're searching for God's peace, you got to have determination to search. Because if you don't, for instance, Josh and I went frisbee golfing yesterday, and he lost his disc in about a forest of weeds this tall. So we sat there for 25 minutes kicking weeds around, and there was 2-3 times where he's like, I'm done. Nope. I said, got to have the determination. I'm still looking. And I did. I kept looking. He's like, just forget about it. And I said, no, I'm going to find this disc. He was determined to keep playing. I was determined to find this disc so we could keep playing even more. And so after about 25 minutes of searching for this thing, I was like, you know what? Most of the time I'm like, God, help us find the disc. Help us find the disc. You care about everything in our lives. You care about us having fun. Help us find this disc. 25 minutes goes by. I can't find this disc. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just continue the game. I'm going to make one last pass through the weeds up to my disc where I threw. And I'm passing and I'm weeding, moving things and walking. I'm just about to my disc and I look to the left and I'm like, got your disc. Sure enough, there it was. And that's what it is, determination. Search for God's peace and work to maintain it. Once you find it, that doesn't mean you can just be lazy, that you can just stand idle and, sit on the sideline. You got to work to maintain that. If you want God's peace, for instance, in Psalm 34:14, you got to work to maintain it. You got to work to hold that peace. Because if you don't, if you're not swimming upstream, what's going to happen? You're being swept downstream. So if you're not going up, you're going down. If you're not working towards going up, you're just going to float down. And none of us wants to float down. Unless you're on a tube. So, determination. Psalm 105:4, that one we'll turn to. Psalm 105:4. 105 verse 4. Says, search for the Lord and his strength. Continually seek him. See, David says to continually seek him. Search for the Lord and his strength. He doesn't say seek him once a week. He doesn't say seek him once in a blue moon. He doesn't say seek him every other day. He says continually seek him in your everyday endeavors. Because without God, we wouldn't be standing here. Without God, we wouldn't be breathing. Without God, I wouldn't be up here. So continually seek him. And it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and the rest will be added unto you. Seek first the determination. Seek it. Seek it. Going back to the determination, I was determined that I was going to have my dad's car. I sought it out. I was trying to figure out how I was going to do it when I was 13. And it happened when I was 19. I was determined to find Josh's disc. We found it. Big or small. Always with God, always determined to seek him first, and then the rest will be added unto you. The rest being life, the rest of life. Your needs, your finances, your housing, your spouse, you know, your kids. Whatever it is, seek first the kingdom of God first, your schooling. You know, the list goes on, life. Seek first the kingdom of God and the rest being life, will be added unto you. And then Matthew 7 through 8. I had that one scribbled, so it looked like Matthew 7:78. But it's not in the Bible. I mean, you could write it in there. Keep on asking, Matthew 7:7 through 8. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Again, the determination. Seek it. Ask for it. And not just, God, you know what? I need some finances to pay my bills at the end of the month. It'd be really nice if you help me out here. You know what? Call it. Call it. Call what's not as if it were. You know what, God? Thank you. Thank you for giving me the finances to meet my needs at the end of this month. Thank you, God, for this plane landing safely before you even take off. Thank you for this plane landing safely in our destination. You got to call it. You got to ask. And when you ask, you receive. When you seek, you find. And when you knock, the door is open. Bless you. You're welcome. So we're going to go to Luke 11, 5. Luke 11, 5. And it's going to be 5 through 10. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Now, shameless persistence. Can anyone tell me that God has not answered a shamelessly persistent prayer? I know I've asked for something that was definitely not in God's will, not knowing at the time. I asked, and I asked, and I asked, and I asked, shamelessly and persistently. And I got what I'd asked for, and it turned out miserable. Let me tell you, it turned out miserable. So, regardless of what you're asking for, what you're seeking, if you go seeking for trouble, trouble's going to find you. If you go seeking, looking for disaster, you'll find it. And you're going to be in it. You're not just going to be watching it. You're going to be in it. So, going back to words, speak life. You know, look for life. Seek for life. Ask for life. Knock on life's door, which is Jesus' door. Don't lose the determination. You want a dream? Go for it. It's going to be tough. You may fail, but get up. You know what? Proverbs talks about how one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. But the godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up each and every time. So if you're determined to do something that God has called you to do, God has put in your heart a dream that God has put in your heart, go for it. No matter what happens, if you know that you know that you know that God put that in your heart, you will not fail. You may stumble, but he picks you right up and he says, let's get going. You've got a dream that I've called you to. You've got a life that I have called you to, a life of abundance, a life of provision. So let's go. Let's pick that cross up and let's go. You know, it's, I don't know, that's just amazing how Jesus' determination, even though he got beat, whipped, was bloody, was still determined to carry that cross so that he could be pinned to that cross so that we may live free. And so in living free, you know what? A free person frees people. Free people free people. Just like a hurt person hurts people. So if you're hurt, I don't imagine you're going to be able to free people. Be determined. Be determined like Jesus was to free us. Be determined in whatever God has called you to. Don't be lazy. I'm going to swing over to Proverbs 26 here. Proverbs 26, 15. We're going to start with 15. It says, lazy people take food in their hand, but don't even lift it to their mouth. Now, what I got from this is food. What's your food? What's your spiritual food? This right here. This is your meat. This is what you chew on. So if lazy people take food in their hand, so they could have it, take it in their hand, but they don't even lift it to their mouth. They're not speaking God's word. They'll take it in their hand, and they'll hold it and say, look, I've got a holy Bible. I'm religious. I couldn't tell you a verse in here, but I'm religious. So don't, you know, that's just an example. Don't be lazy. Because when you're lazy, you start to get swept downstream. You start to lose what little you've gained or what much you've gained. Is that even grammatically correct? How much you've gained, we'll go with that. You know, either way, if you decide you want to be lazy, you're deciding for yourself that you're going to start losing everything that you've had. Now Proverbs 26:16 says, lazy people consider themselves smarter than seven wise counselors. So these counselors are already wise. One of them is wise. Now you got seven of them together. That's pretty wise communion going on right there. A lazy person considers himself smarter. That shows what kind of blindfold is over his eyes to assume that he's smarter than seven wise counselors. Laziness, lack of determination, has put a veil over his eyes so that he's assuming that he's walking where he's supposed to be walking. He's assuming that, you know what? I'm all high and mighty because I do nothing. Jesus was talking in the Gospels saying that if the light that you think you have is actually darkness, how dark that light is. So if you think you're wiser or smarter than seven wise counselors, how foolish you really are. Never assume you're the wise one. Because when you start to do that, you start to get corrected, and it's not a good feeling. I mean, constructive criticism always is a blessing as long as you're taking it with an open ear. But when you start putting yourself in this position, assuming that you're the wise one, that you're the smart one, and you're so thick-headed into that, you're going to start getting shot at with words that are tearing you down because you're not listening. You're not paying attention. You're being lazy and not actually taking the determination, the time to see, the time to spend with God to say, hey, where am I at? God, what are my giftings? Who am I to influence? What works am I supposed to do? How do I speak to this person? How do I go to this person and tell them what they need to hear? How do I speak life into this person as you would, Jesus? How do I imitate you? So, I'm going to go back and fill this in. Words, works, jurisdiction, and determination. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Words, works, jurisdiction, and determination. Those are realities. And that's why I've titled it realities. Because those are realities. Those aren't just fictional things that we're talking about. That's real life. Your words are real life. What you do is real life. Where you are, your sphere of influence, is real life. And your determination, or lack thereof, is real life. And it will all produce fruit to show where you are. So my encouragement is, you know what, remember WWJD, both what would Jesus do, and words, works, jurisdiction, and determination. Take it to the Lord and see what he has for you. Take it to the Lord and see what next step he wants you to take. If it's something extreme and, you know what, you feel like it's probably your own mind talking, set it aside for the moment. And if it pops back up, bring that in front of the Lord. Go, Lord, what is this? Is this what you want me to do? Is this what you're calling me to? He'll answer you one way or another. He'll answer you. He'll let you know. He'll either stop what you're trying to do or what you think you're supposed to do with a brick wall, and sometimes that hurts a lot. Or if it's what you're supposed to do, he'll open every door needed to get there. He'll close doors that only he can close, and he'll open doors that only he can open. So again, I encourage you to take it to the Lord and see what your next step is. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you just stir in each and everyone's heart what their next step is to take, including my own. Lord, to see where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do, what words they're supposed to speak. Lord, what kind of influence they're supposed to have within their influence. Lord, how to be just like you. How to be a replica of you, as you have made us to be. Lord, I pray that they come before you humble, with open ears and open hearts, ready to receive, ready to listen, and ready to be what you've called them to be. And I just speak this in Jesus' name. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.